Okay, so obviously you give a shear on Erev Tisha B'Av, it has to be on Tisha B'Av. But I actually came across something and worked through something that I think had been bothering me for a long time, and hopefully it will help not only me but you as well. And it starts with the basic question of what's the theme of Tisha B'Av? Meaning, how are we supposed to feel on Tisha B'Av? So the truth is, from the earliest age, we understand that Tisha B'Av is a day that's defined by avelos, by the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and by our feelings of sadness over that loss. And I'm certainly not here to tell you that that's not correct, but I think there's much more. And, often in the middle of the discussion of, the theme and avelos, something else comes up. The other theme that comes up from time to time is the theme of tshuva, which I think most of us dismiss, not because it's not important, but okay, tshuva is a Yom Kippur thing, and nobody ever confused Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is something else. So first of all, let's just start with the avelos idea, and just something that I'm sure we've discussed before, something that everybody's aware of. The real form of avelos, what's called avelos chadasha or avelut chadasha, is simple, right? Somebody, one of your close relatives passes away, and the way it works is obviously, that moment is a moment of trauma, and therefore, the first thing that happens is aninus, right? What does it mean to be an oneg? It means you don't have to make brachos. Not you're not allowed to make brachos. You're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to do mitzvot aseh. And the Rav explains, and everybody could have said this on their own, it's almost like, you're angry at God and need some period of time in which to cool off. So that's sort of the key moment. Then you have Shiva, which is obviously very intense, but you do daven and you do mitzvot and you do make brachos. And then I'm oversimplifying, but then you have Shloshim, which is less intense. And then you have Yud Beis Chodesh for parents, which is even less intense than Shloshim. The idea being, you start with the most intense, and then over time you rejoin, the rest of the world, the rest of the Jewish people. Avelut Yeshana, meaning being mourning something that happened a long time ago, has, according to the Rav, the exact opposite process, because there's no moment where you feel the pain. You have to work yourself up to it because the whole thing happened, 2,000 years ago. So the way he explains, you have the 3 weeks, which is kind of like Yud Beis Chodesh, right? It has a low level chiyuv of avelus that gets bumped up to the 9 days. That gets bumped up again, Shavua Shechalbo. That gets bumped up again on Tisha B'Av itself. Right, so it's the same, it's the reverse process. You're mourning, but in the normal process of mourning, it hits hard, and then there's a process by which you rejoin the world. And in Avelut Yishana, it's the opposite. You need to, it's artificial almost. You need to work yourself towards a point where you get to the actual feeling on Tisha B'Av of a real loss. Okay, so the Avelut part is real, and it's obviously part of the experience. We need to start and ask ourselves, what else or what other themes are there on Tisha B'Av? So let's start with the pasuk, the only pasuk in Nach that describes the four fast days. And when we talk about the four fast days, we're obviously talking about the four fast days that relate to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, right? There are really six fasts. There's Yom Kippur that sits at the top of the pile. It's the only D'oraisa fast. There's Tanis Esther that sits at the bottom of the pile, which is really not even that sad. And then there's the four fast days, okay? In historical order, Asara B'Teves, Shivasar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia. And there the Navi Zechariah says in source number one, Kol Hashem Tzvakos, Tzom HaRevi'i, the fourth month. That's Shivasar B'Tammuz, V'Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth month, that's Tisha B'Av, V'Tzom HaShivi'i, the seventh month, that's Tzom Gedalia, V'Tzom HaAsiri, the tenth month, Asar B'Teves, Yihya levet Yehuda lissason ulissimcha lemoadim tovim vaemet vashalom ahavu. Eventually, these will be days of joy, but right now they are days of fasting. Without knowing anything of the, you know, anything about the details of the pasuk, what's clear is there's a group of four. There's no distinctions between the four. Now, we know that the way the halacha developed, obviously Tisha B'Av is much more severe than are the other three. But at least in the pasuk, there's no difference between them. It's just a group of four. Maybe we'll come back to that idea. But let's look first at what I think is the general idea and the general theme of the four fast days, or in our context, of Tisha B'Av. That's the Gemara at the end of Tainus, source number two, Daf Lamed Amud Alf. The Gemara there says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol mitzvos ha-nohagos ba'avel, nohagos b'tisha ba'av. Okay, anything which applies in Avelos applies to Tisha B'Av. And that's exactly, you know, what we would think. Tisha B'Av is an expression of Avelos. And then the Gemara explains, Asur ba'achila v'shtia, you're prohibited from eating and drinking, uvisicha, and anointing, uvi'inas asandal, and wearing leather shoes, v'tashmish amita, family relations. And then the Gemara adds another thing, which is true about Avelos, v'asur likrot b'torah b'nevim u'biktuvim, right? You can't learn Tanakh, u'lishanot b'mishnah b'tamud b'mishra alachos v'magadosh, you can't learn Torah Sheba Alpeh as well. Again, the Gemara explains that the hard things perhaps you can learn. But this is the accepted halacha, that Tisha B'Av is an expression of Avelos. What's the problem with this Gemara? It's obvious. The problem with the Gemara is it says, anybody? Yeah. The Gemara says, oh, you're an Avel, and so you're not allowed to eat and drink. But that's not true. Avelim eat and drink all the time. Yeah, maybe there's an issue about wine. Maybe there's an issue about meat. Maybe. But they certainly eat and drink. So it's a little strange. Rashi is all over the issue. Rashi in source number three says, Asur ba'achila v'shtia. So he says, no. Hanu eino hagim ba'avel. These two, of course, don't apply to Avelim. De'kachashiv nami isurim sheno hagim bo. Levad mehani denehigi ba'avel, rechitzu v'sichu nasasana. Rashi basically says, no, what the Gemara means to say is there are two things that you can't do on Tisha B'Av in addition to all the other things that Tisha B'Av shares with Avelos, meaning the other inuyim, what we would call inuyim, you know, not having relations, not wearing leather shoes, et cetera, et cetera. On top of that, there are two other prohibitions, eating and drinking. Okay, so it still sort of sits out there as a bit of an odd passage, but Rashi's answer, you know, Rashi's all over it, and the answer seems to work for us that the Tisha B'Av shares with Avelos, all the Avelos prohibition, plus there are two more. So where do the two more come from? The answer is, of course, Yom Kippur, right? Almost all the halachos of Tisha B'Av are modeled on Yom Kippur. Now, it could be that it's just a model. It doesn't mean that Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur share themes. Obviously, if I asked you what's the theme of Yom Kippur, you would say doing tshuva. Yeah. And you'd be correct. You know, and again, what's the theme of Tisha B'Av? Avelos. But if the halachos are borrowed, meaning if Tisha B'Av halachically looks a lot like Yom Kippur, maybe there's more going on. So let's explore that. If you open the Rambam in Hilchos Ta'anios, source number four, so you would expect to find there, you know, that it opens with Tisha B'Av and the other fasts. Just to be clear, it doesn't open with Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur is the only Doraisa fast and the dominant one, because, of course, the Rambam has Hilchos Yom Kippur, or Shvisas Asar. So, you know, that's not a fancy thing that it's not in Tanios. But let's just look, how does the Rambam begin Hilchos Tanios? And the answer is, in source number 4, the Rambam says as follows, Mitzvat asei min ha-Torah, lizok ulahariya b'chatzotzrot al kol tzara shedhavo ala tzibur. There is a mitzvah asei min ha-Torah to cry out to God and to blow chatzotzros whenever a community is being threatened. Shenemar ala tzara tzorer eschem aratem b'chatzotzrot, kilomar kol davar sheyitzer lochem, anything which threatens you as a community, kigon batzoret, there's a drought, videver, there's a plague, va'arban locusts, ukiyot sebahem, za'aku alehen v'hariu. So it's interesting. The first halacha of Hilchos Ta'anios doesn't say anything about fasting. What does it mean to cry out to God? The answer, of course, is to do tshuva, right? There's no such thing as just crying out to God. That's not a halachically significant event. You know, saying Tehillim isn't really a halachically significant event. Saying Tehillim as a form of tshuva, saying Tehillim as a way to inspire you to become better, of course, that's incredibly significant. But there's nothing magical about just saying things. And so, of course, the Rambam is going to describe the role of fasting in the process of davening to God, but the overall context is not really fasting. The overall context is fasting as a vehicle for doing tshuva. Right? You'll just have to trust me. It's all over Hilchos Ta'anios, and it takes till the fifth parak, till the Rambam even gets around to discussing Tisha B'Av and the related fasts that we're discussing. And if you go to source number 5, there it is. The Rambam says, Yesham yamim shekol Yisrael mitanim bahem. There are days on which the entirety of the Jewish people fast. Why? Mipnei hatzarot she'iru bahen. Because of the tragedies that took place in the past. Now, again, this is including Tisha B'Av. So great. So it must mean that we fast because we're mourning over the terrible events that happened. No, the Rambam says, and why do we fast? Kidei le'orer ha'levavot v'liftoach darkei ha'teshuvah. The purpose of these days is so that we should become inspired to repent, to do tshuva. Why? When we focus on the tragedies that happened, and here the Rambam is implicitly saying that if the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt, it's our fault. Okay, so he says, V'yezeh zikaron l'ma'aseinu hara'im u'ma'asei avoteinu shehayakim ma'aseinu ata, and it will remind us of the terrible acts of our forefathers, which were identical to our acts now, ad shegaram lahem v'lanu otan atzarot. It is our sins that caused the terrible events that we're mourning. Shebizikaron dvarim elu nashuv lehitiv sheneemar v'hitvadu et avonam v'et avon avotam, a pasuk that's more regularly quoted with respect to Yom Kippur, and not with respect to Tisha B'Av. So here you have it. The Rambam says there are fast days where we focus on tragedies that happened to the Jewish people in the past. But the Rambam completely ignores the Avelut part. And the Rambam says, and why do we focus on the tragedies that happened in the past? Because they're our fault. And the reason why they haven't been fixed is because we haven't done tshuva. And the purpose of the fast is to remind us or to inspire us to do tshuva, to fix that which happened in the past. And in case you don't believe me, so the second halacha, I couldn't put it all on the page, but Morty took out a Rambam, I noticed, so he can tell you if I'm lying. So the second halacha in Perek Hey is sort of the other fasts. And the third halacha, halacha gimel, is us. And the Rambam there reads exactly as we would, we think it would. V'tisha b'av v'chamisha dvarim irubo. Tisha b'av is one of the fast days, and five terrible things happen on Tisha b'av. One, nigzar al Yisrael b'amidbar shelo yikansu la'aretz, chet hamaraglim. Okay, which is, interestingly, it's recounted in this week's parsha. Two, v'charav habayis barishona. Three, ubashnia, two, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Four, v'nilkida ir gidola ubeitar shema, a great city was destroyed, its name was Beitar. V'hayu ba alafim urvavot miYisrael, there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews. V'haya lahem melech gadol, the Rambam now takes a little detour. He's just interested in telling us a story. There was a great king in Beitar. What was his name? You'll know in a second. V'dimu kol Yisrael u'gedolei ha'chachamim shehu ha'melech ha'mashiach. His name was Bar Kokhba. And the Rambam thinks, against other people, that everybody thought he was the Melech ha'mashiach. V'nafal b'yad goyim v'nehergu kulam v'haytat tzara gedola k'mo churban ha'mikdash. That was a disaster. That's the fourth. And the fifth, ubo bayom hamuchan lepuranut, I'm like a deep sigh. And on that horrible day, which is set aside for tragedies, charash turnus rufus harashami malchei adom et haheichalva et sivivav lekayem, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, tzion sadet techaresh. Turnus rufus plowed up the makom hamikdash. Okay, so the Rambam, like everybody else, like we've been taught our whole lives, the Rambam understands that Tisha B'Av is a day on which we focus on the five tragedies historically that happened. And again, we've increased that list into modern times, World War I, well, different things. Doesn't matter. He says all that. And if you just saw Halacha Gimel, it would look like everything we've ever thought our whole lives. But in the context of Halacha Aleph, in source number five, it reads differently. What does the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash cause me to do on Tisha B'Av? It causes me to do tshuva. Okay, it's a different take. Now, how does this play out la halacha? So source number six, and I chose something, it's not the Rambam. Okay, here's the Mechaber. In Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Simon Tovkuf Nun Gimel, Seif Bet, the Mechaber says in source number six, Tisha B'Av Leilo Kiyomo L'chol Davar. Okay, on Tisha B'Av, unlike the other fast days, the other minor fast days, the night has the same din as the day. Okay, it's the same din. The fast starts at night, unlike Shivas or Batamas, etc. Ve'ein ochlim elam mibod yom. You can only eat in the afternoon. Ubein hashmashot shelo asur. Okay, and the Bein HaShemosh, this is Asur. Kiyom HaKippurim. Now, I'll admit, first of all, it's not bolded in the original. I bolded it. But you could say, yeah, the Mechaber is just saying that, you know, on this level, Tisha B'Av has the same halacha as Yom Kippur. But the other way to read it is to just say the Mechaber could have said, Ubein hashmashot shelo asur, period. Right? The reference to Yom HaKippurim seems to be, at least to me, a hint or a subconscious thing. The Mechaber saying, in many ways, Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur. Right? Now, you could say again, of course, like Yom Kippur in terms of the rules of the fast, and everybody says that. But maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's like Yom Kippur because substantively, it's also like Yom Kippur. Another halacha like that. Source number seven. The next siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Nun Dalet Seif Hei, the Mechaber says as follows. Ubrot umeinikot mitanot b'tisha b'av, kiderech shemitanot umashlimot b'yom Kippur. Again, kind of the same thing. Pregnant women and nursing mothers have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Okay, just say that. It's easy, right? Uvrotu meinikot mitanot b'tisha b'av. Period. What's Kederech Shemitanot U'Mashlimot B'Yom Kippur? So again, you could say the Mechab is just bringing you a model in case you want to understand how seriously we take Tisha B'Av. These rules are just like Yom Kippur. But again, it's funny, and it may be that the constant references to Yom Kippur are different, and that they're supposed to remind us of something more. Let's just finish the halacha. Says the Mechaber, "Avabagimul tzamot acherim piturim litanot." But on the other three minor fasts, pregnant women and nursing mothers do not have to fast. V'afal pikein, ra'ui shelo tochlena lehitaneg b'ma'achal u'b'mishteh. He says, nevertheless, just because you're not fasting, you know, doesn't mean you should go out for lunch. Doesn't mean you should have fancy meals. Ela kidei kiyum havlad. No. Okay, you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to drink. But really, you're doing it so that your child should stay healthy. Not so that, you know, you can have a fancy meal at a restaurant. It reminds me, unrelated completely, obviously. But I remember the Yom Kippur War. I was a little kid. I remember when it broke out, and I remember, like, in the break, I guess we must have had, like, a Gentile babysitter for my younger brother and sister, and she must have put on the radio, and my parents were listening. It was, like, tense, but I was a little kid, and I knew that we had this box of ice cream sandwiches in the freezer, and by the third ice cream sandwich that I took out that I was eating, I remember my mother must have been annoyed, and she's like, just because you could eat doesn't mean you should eat like a pig. Turns out my mother knew this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to eat, you know, if you're a nursing mother, whatever, if you're a little kid. But it doesn't mean you have to have, you know, three ice cream sandwiches when the Yom Kippur War just broke out.
Ellie?
Yes.
Just you know, since you pointed out that I have the Rambam in Halacha Zion.
I realized it may have been something wholly unrelated. I just gave you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but the Shulchan Aruch is also quoting from the Rambam also when he quotes the Psukim is that, Ein Ochlim, Yom Yom, Asur Kiyom HaKippurim, and then we talked about
absolutely.
Overall, he says Kiyom HaKippurim too. So
no, I know. I tried to bring the Mechaber because I thought it was. I thought I kind of established the Rambam's idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool to prove also the Mechaber, but you're absolutely right. Okay, and here's another Rambam similar to what Morty's quoting. Number 8, Ubrotu Meinikot Mitanotu Mashlimot B'Tisha B'Av. Okay, they have to fast the whole day, and another strange halal Asur Birchitza. Right, they can't wash. Bein bechamin, bein bitzonein, va'afilu lahushit etzba'o b'mayim. Right, even to just, you know, dip your hands in water. Va'asur b'sicha shatanu b'inat ha'sandal v'tashmish ha'mita, kiyom ha'kipurim. I forgot to bold it there. But there too, it's kiyom ha'kipurim. Now, just as a side point, when you match it up with avelos, it obviously doesn't work here either. Even though the din is avelim are not supposed to bathe and shower unless, nobody thinks an avel can't wash their hands. Nobody thinks an avel can't wash their face. And the difference here is simple. On Yom Kippur, and maybe by extension on Tisha B'Av, there's a din of inui, right? You're supposed to afflict yourself. Avelim are not supposed to afflict themselves. They're supposed to refrain from doing luxurious things or doing things that make them feel good. There's a difference. So an avel can always wash their hands and face, but on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, you can't even touch, you know, you can't even put your hands in water other than for very limited reasons, because there it's a din and inui. Okay, so if I've done my job till now, we started with a source that makes clear that the theme of Tisha B'Av is avelos. But then we saw the Rambam pushing us in the direction of tshuva, and perhaps the Shulchan Aruch as well. So all this, and okay, are things you could notice. But then I saw the Perash HaMishnayos in source number 9, and here's another Rambam. And here, it doesn't even look like a contradiction. Here's the Rambam. He says, U'mima she'ata tzarich lodat. It's always cool. When the Rambam says that, it's basically he's saying, like, pay attention. I'm about to say something really important that you should know. What should you know? Shekol mitzvot hanohagot ba'avel, nohagot b'tisha ba'av. Any rule that applies to an avel applies on tisha ba'av. Great. So there's avelos. V'itbaru l'cha halachot elu b'mekoman. And the Ram says, I'll explain that to you in Hilchos Avelos. And then he says, "V'din ta'anito k'din ta'anit tzom kippur." But the rules, on the one hand, it's just like Avelus. On the other hand, the rules are borrowed from Yom Kippur. Kilomar, shehu asur birichitza uvesicha uvetashmish amita uveni'ilat hasandal. In addition to all those other things, umosifin michol ala kodesh, right? You're supposed to start Tisha B'Av earlier, not just at stars out, or maybe not even at sundown. That's a big issue this year because it's still Shabbos. Okay, va'asiyat melacha bo migunem ma'od. That's a great halacha. Tisha B'Av is not really asur b'melacha, like Yom Kippur obviously is. On the other hand, doing malacha on Tisha B'Av is migunem ma'od. It's disgusting. We don't want you to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, even though it's not technically asur. So here again, you sort of have this tension between Avelut and Yom Kippur. Now again, I admit, you could say that Yom Kippur has nothing to do with tshuva. It's just the halachic framework that we copy for Tisha B'Av, and that's true. But I think I've shown you, at least in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tanis, for sure, that the Rambam thinks fast days are days of tshuva. And I think it's safe to say when the Rambam uses Yom Kippur as a model, he's also talking about the substance of Yom Kippur, about the fact that Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva, as we all know, and that Tisha B'Av should be as well. So the question is, or said this way, you could make your peace with this and say, okay, there are dual themes on Tisha B'Av. There's Avelus on the one hand, and there's tshuva on the other. They're not really in conflict. It wouldn't bother me so much to talk about, like, there's a dialectic, there's two dinim, there's two themes, but I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true because I remembered, and then I read it again, that the Rav has an essay. He didn't write it. It's in Reflections of the Rav. So Rav Bezdin, all those years ago, wrote it up. But it's called Sitting Shiva is Doing Tshuva. And what I want to suggest now, based on this Rav idea, is that it's not just that Avelus and Tshuva don't conflict, it's that it may very well be the case that they're complementary and that they work together and that both themes inform each other on Tisha B'Av. In this essay, the Rav suggests, and you know, having sat Shiva recently, it's at least for me, it's 1,000% true, that when you sit Shiva and you reflect, there are two forms of tshuva that take place, or that, you know, that basically take over your Shiva, whether you want it to or not. One is vis-a-vis the person who passed away. The second is vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll explain. The first one is that you lost somebody and you have incredibly deep regret about the way you treated the person, how you could have done better, or even in a best case scenario, you know, how you didn't take advantage of the time you had. And if you had another hour, if you had another day, you know, you would ask your father the following 50 questions that you never bothered to ask him when he was alive. And he points to the following really beautiful Gemara in Brachos, source number 10, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara tells the following story. It's really incredibly moving. Kinach nafshei derav. When Rav passed away, azlu talmidav basrei ki hadadi. So the funeral took place someplace else. They followed him to the body to the funeral. And now they were returning. Amri, they said to themselves, Nezel v'necho lachma anahar denak, or dank. And they're walking back. They said, you know what? It's a hot day, we're hungry, let's stop and have a picnic on the banks of the river Dank. Bosa de Kharche Yasvi Vikami Boilahu. okay, when they were sitting down already, before they benched, they had the following conversation. Hasebu dafka tanan, they wanted to know whether they could make a zimun. So they said, does it have to be that we all sat down with the intention of eating together? Aval yashvu lo, but if we just all sat down by ourselves, that's not a zimun. O dilma, or perhaps, kevan de amri nezo v'necho rifta beduchta planisa, maybe when we all said, let's eat lunch together on the banks of the river, it's as if we were kovea ourselves at a table to make a zimun. Okay, so they had this halachic question. Can we bench bezimun or not? Lo hava biyadaihu. They did not know the answer. Here it comes. Kam Rav Ada bar Ava ahader kareila achore. Rav Ada bar Ava, who had obviously already torn kriya on the passing of his Rebbe, tore kriya again on the back of his beged. Vikara kriya achrina. He tears kriya again. Amar, nach nafshe derav, Rav died, ubirchas mizona lo gamrinan. And we don't even know the halachos of benching. Right? It's a very beautiful and moving Gemara. They mourned their Rebbe, right? It was they lost their Rebbe. They felt terrible. But in this moment, right, Rav tears kriya again because he says to himself, essentially, we didn't take advantage of Rav when he was alive. Here's all these questions we don't know the answers to. We don't know the din of benching because we never asked him. And the Rav suggests that's a form of tshuva. They regret it. They feel terrible, but they don't just feel terrible. Presumably, they promise themselves that they won't make that mistake again. That's what intelligent people do. When you regret something, right? So if you lost one of your parents and you regret X, Y, and Z, so a thoughtful person does tshuva. What does that mean? He commits that he won't make the same mistake again. Now, I'm not saying we don't make the same mistake again. But the first thing that, again, it speaks to me very much because I think it was my experience and it just seems normal, is that when you sit Shiva and you're in Avel, at some point you also do tshuva. The tshuva process takes over because you have regrets about how you treated the person for whom you're sitting Shiva. But the Rav said there's also a second form of tshuva that shows up in the middle of Shiva. And that is the tshuva that we know better, the tshuva that you feel that you owe to God. Why is that? So it's true, there are two approaches to death in Judaism. There is one approach that says, you know, everybody dies. But that's the minority approach. The majority approach is that sin causes death. And it's described in Source 11, a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Hei Amid Beis. The Gemara says as follows, Amru Malachei Asharas Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma Kanasta Misa Al Adam HaRishon. Why did you decree death for Adam HaRishon? Not a very good question, Amar Lahem, what we know. Mitzvah Kala Tzivisiv V'Avar Aleha. This is God says, I gave him one mitzvah, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. He violated 100% of the mitzvahs I gave him. So he had to die. Amrulo, Malachim say to God, V'halo Moshe v'Aaron shekimu kol ha-Torah kula mesu. Moshe v'Aaron, they're pretty good guys. They kept the whole Torah. Why'd they die? So two answers. Amai lohem mikra echad letzadik v'l'rasha latov v'l'ra. Pasuk in Kos, no. There's one rule for everybody. What, it's lahavdil. It's a Christian idea. Original sin. Once Adam HaRishon sinned, God introduced death into the world. And the second answer, Huda Amar ki aitana ditanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af Moshe v'Aaron bechet amesu. No, Moshe and Aaron also sinned, as we know. Shenemar, Ya'an lo ha'emantem bi, because you didn't believe in me, lahakti shein, even me, riva, right? They hit the rock, they didn't speak. Ha ha'emantem bi, had they listened to God, adayin lo higiyaz manchem li partem min ha'olam. Then, they would not have died yet. Okay, but for the most part, what the Gemara stands for and what we believe is that death is caused by sin. Now you'll say, wait, this is the kind of area you're always nervous about. You're not supposed to sit around Shiva and think, what did the person who passed away do wrong? You know, what aveira did they do that caused them, you know, God forbid, to get cancer? No, of course not. Because if you're sitting Shiva, you're in pain. And if you're in pain, you're part of the people who God is quote unquote punishing, right? Death doesn't just strike the person who died. Obviously, it strikes that person most directly. But like illness, it strikes all of us, right? The general idea, what does it mean to daven for somebody to recover? Well, didn't God give him the disease in the first place? So generally what we say is, well, when the person davens, he becomes a better version of himself. He changes enough that he can say to God, God, I'm not the person you gave cancer to. Please cure me. Perhaps. So how do we get to daven for other people? The answer is, if we're in pain, if it's hurting us, then we're part of the gzera. It never happens that one member of the family, you know, becomes terribly ill and it doesn't upset the, you know, the routine and the life of everybody else in the family. Of course it does. So the Rav suggests on the second time, when you're sitting Shiva, you're also thinking about why this tragedy happened. And obviously you're also thinking about what you could do to prevent it from happening again. So both of these ideas, tshuva and avelos, they're one and the same, right? One causes the other. And you kind of see that in the Sefer Achinuch in source number 12. This has to do, he's writing on the mitzvah of Tumah, but he says, Al Kain, bevo elav onesh hamikre maves be'echad mikrovav, asher hateva mechayev ha'avalahem. When a close relative dies, and by, you know, naturally you love that person, tichayvenu ha'torah la'asot ma'asim ba'atzmo, the Torah requires us to do things like sitting on the floor, asher ye'oriruhu likvoa machshavto al atzar shehigia alav, which will force us to focus on the pain we're feeling, va'az ye'davi yitbonen b'nafsho ki avonotav garmulo lahagia elav hatzar hahu. There it is. Va'az ye'davi yitbonen b'nafsho, you'll sit there and you'll think, ki avonotav garmulo lahagia elav hatzar hahu, that it's your bad actions that caused this to happen. Ki Hashem lo ya'anem libo v'yiga ish ki mitzad chatoim. God doesn't punish people unless they sin. V'zoti emunatenu hashlema. That's what we believe. V'anachnu ba'alei dat yehudit ha'yikara. That's what Jews believe. And therefore, uvitei tadam el libo inyan ze b'maaseh ha'avelut, yashit da'ato la'asot teshuvah v'yachshir ma'asav kifi kocho. That's the magic line. The Chinuch says, when you go through this process of avelut, what will happen? You'll focus yourself on the need to do tshuva. And when the Chinuch says it here, it doesn't read like a dialectic. It doesn't read like competing themes. It reads like the same theme. The theme of Tisha B'Av, if we can borrow the Chinuch's language, is, I look at the past, I ask myself why such a terrible thing would have happened, and according to the Rambam, continues to happen because we didn't fix it. And the answer is because we didn't behave properly. The answer is we have to do tshuva. And so if we started with the question of, you know, competing themes, I think where we've gotten to now is they're not competing at all. They're complementary. They're almost the same. And our idea of Tisha B'Av as being a day of Avelus is, of course, true. But it's a day of Avelus that's supposed to lead to a day of tshuva. And I think most of us are really good at the first. I think we're less good at the second, right? And the reason we're less good at the second is because probably we don't feel the pain of the first. It's almost natural. You know, when you're sitting Shiva for a relative, a close relative, you know, it's overwhelming. But it's easy to say, okay, I'm supposed to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. There was once a Beis HaMikdash. I feel bad that it's not there. But the answer is, the more deeply you feel the loss, of the Beis HaMikdash, the more likely and the easier it will be for you to then move over to the second part, to the Rambam's part, of doing tshuva on Tisha B'Av. So to a certain extent, that's the idea, that's the theme I wanted to present today. But I have another idea, which could be a standalone. I think it expands on the theme we just discussed, but either way, it's a great idea. It exists in a number of places. The Gemara in Tainus in source 13 says as follows: Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim zoche v'ro'e b'simchata. Anybody who properly mourns Yerushalayim sees merits and sees its joy. V'she'eino mit abel al Yerushalayim eino ro'e b'simchata, and the reverse. Okay, great. You know what? This sounds like something we've seen a million times, and it's lovely. What's the problem with this line? The problem is grammatical. Says the Nitziv, it should have said, I think it's a Nitziv, Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim yizkeh v'yir'eh b'simchata. Right? If you properly mourn Jerusalem, you will be zocheh to see its joy. But it doesn't say that. It says it in present tense. Anybody who mourns Jerusalem merits and sees its joy. How could that be? So the Mechaber in 14 in Hilchos Tisha B'Av has an interesting halacha that we all know, but it's hard to put in context. There the Mechaber says, Ein omrim tachanun v'lo slichos ve'ein noflim al pineihem on Tisha B'Av, why not mishum demikri moi? Now you think to yourself, if there's one day in the calendar on which we should say Tachnun, it's Tisha B'Av. It's the saddest day of the year. And even I think it's the saddest day of the year. What? Because the Pasuk says Moed. So we're not going to say Tisha B'Av. We're not going to say Tachnun. So of course, the point is, there is some hidden element, and we could have talked about this for hours. There is some hidden element of comfort, even on Tisha B'Av. What is it? So here's one approach.
Ellie,
we all know the brothers.
Ellie, can I just come back to that diuk that you have in the Gemara? Kol ha'misabel Yerushalayim. You're saying it should say Yizkeh. No, right. Had he said Kol she'aval, whatever the past tense of Avelis was, anybody who will see, but Kol ha'misabel is Lashon Hove.
I agree. So what it says is anybody who mourns Yerushalayim sees its joy. So the Nitziv asks, again, you know, you could pick on the Nitziv, it's not my question, right? That's wrong. It could be that in the merit of mourning, you will see. But how do you see at the same time that you're mourning? That doesn't make sense. So again, the first point was
that's Rabbi Akiva's view when he saw the,
maybe. Okay. What's the story? Let's finish the point. The brothers sell Yosef. And in 15, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yaakov Simlotav, Yaakov tears his garments, Vayosem Sak Bemosnov, and he wears sackcloth, Vayitabel al Bino Yamim Rabim. He mourns his son for a long, long time. Vayakumu kol banav v'chol benotav l'nachamo. Everybody else tries to comfort him. Vayimain lehitnachem. He refuses to be comforted. Vayomer kiyered al b'nei avel shol. No, I'm going to mourn my son till I die. Vayefk oto aviv. So we all know this is crazy. You know, take him to a psychiatrist. It's not healthy. At some point, you have to move on. And that's the question asked in the Medrash in 16. How dichsiv vayakumu kol banav v'chol benotav l'nachamo vayimain lehitnachem. Matrona shalat Rabbi Yossi. A woman asks Rabbi Yossi the following question. Amra lo ksiv. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim ki Yehuda gavar be'echav, that Yehuda was the greatest of all the brothers. Uksiv vayinachem Yehuda vayal al gozes etzono. When Yehuda's wife died, he recovered, he was comforted, and he moved on with his life in an unfortunate way, if you know the story, but fine. And she asks Rabbi Yossi, v'zeh avihem shel kulam, you know, we're all b'nei Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, v'yema'ein lehitnachem, how could he have refused to be consoled? That seems to be against the halacha. Amar la, Rabbi Yossi says back to the woman, mitnachamim al hametim, v'ein mitnachamim al hachayim. We accept condolences for the dead, but not for the living. Meaning, on some level, Yaakov Avinu knew, understood somehow, that his son must be alive. The fact that he could not recover, the fact that he could not make peace with it, told him somehow that Yosef was alive. And the refusal to mourn Yosef was a form, was a statement that, no, I believe Yosef is going to return. And that is the answer to the Gemara and to what we're talking about on Tisha B'Av. The fact that we mourn tells us it is the consolation. Why is it the consolation? Because we're saying we refuse to make peace with the world in which Yerushalayim is not what it's supposed to be and the Beis HaMikdash is not there. And our refusal to make peace with that is what gives us comfort. Because it means God will have no choice but to return it. Because we're refusing, we're not going to stop mourning. There's some story, I think it's about Napoleon. I don't know if it's true, but it's a nice story. That he passed by a shul on Tisha B'Av, you know, and the lights were low and people were sitting on the floor and crying. And he asked, what's going on? And he said, the Jews are mourning the destruction of the temple. And he said, what? It's, you know, it's 1,000 years ago. And they said, yeah. And they're still mourning. And he said, a people who mourn all these years later, they'll get their temple back. If they can't make their peace in living without their temple, it will be returned to it, to them. And the model, I would suggest, is the famous song in Yirmiyahu at the last source about Rachel Imenu. Right, what's the sound? Rachel mivaka al baneha. Rachel Imenu is crying over her children. What's the magic? Everybody else God doesn't listen to, but she al baneha ki einenu. She refuses to be comforted because they're not there. And God has no choice but to say, "Kom Hashem, mini kolech mi bechiv einach min dima." Stop crying, please. Ki yesh sachal lifulotechnu Hashem v'shavu me'eretz oyev, v'yesh tikvala acharitechnu Hashem v'shavu banim ligvulam. What was the magic of Rachel Imenu? The magic was everybody else stopped crying at some point, but she didn't. And because she wouldn't be comforted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to say, I'm going to answer your tefillos. And that, of course, is what we hope for on Tisha B'Av, which is the fact that we're mourning something, you know, from so long ago, but we continue to mourn it, means we feel it. And if we feel its loss, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, and the Gemara says, even on Tisha B'Av, you start to feel that it's going to get better. You start to see the joy even on that day. And therefore, as bizarre as it is, and as many other halachas like this, you don't say tachnun. Because it's a tzom, but it's also a moed. Now, it's not a moed yet. It's not a yom simcha yet. But so long as we refuse to make our peace with it, we're consoled by the fact that it will once again, you know, be a moed. And so coming back to the original point, again, the more we refuse to make our peace with what the way things are now, the more we want to change it. And in Judaism, the way to change things is to do tshuva. And so, of course, we have to mourn, but we also have to find a way to harness the feelings of loss, to find a way to repent, to look at what's going on in the world now, to look at how we behave, to look at how the Jewish people behave in general. You know, if you live in Israel, you see things that bother you to the core, you know, every day. And there's no need to give examples. Just pick up a newspaper. we have a lot to fix, but God willing, we will fix it. We're promised that we will. And v'shavu banim ligvulam. Yashkoch to everybody. Shabbat shalom. Fast well. If we have to. And if nothing great happens, well, I'll see you next Friday.
Yeah.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.